If you believe God, then you have the faith. So the soul responds to circumstances. It's up and down. It's, you know, a wonderful thing. It's a great thing. We want mind, will, and emotions, yes. But you have to learn to harness it like a wild horse, like King David did. Because the soul gets troubled. The soul gets troubled within us. You know, and King David said to his soul, "Why are you troubled within me? Rest. Because I will trust in him." You see, he harnessed his soul. He took charge of his soul. Because having a troubled soul is normal. It's human. We have humanity, people. We just have to learn not to live by it. We have to learn to get help. You may need to come and tell somebody, pray for me because I'm freaking out. You know, and that's fine. The thing is, do not make decisions based on what you feel. People who live by the Spirit make decisions based on what God says. And when you make decisions based on what God says, you are steady, reliable, and you will fulfill your destiny, and you will finish the race, and you will receive your promises. You see, and this is very important. The book of Galatians says, the soul and the spirit are at war within us, pulling into different directions. And that is a hard war. When you don't know what is happening, and you don't know how to harness your soul, you live in turmoil inside constantly. And your Christian life becomes very challenging. And the promises of God remain in the unattainable realm. So, it is very important to understand that a troubled soul is part of life. Because we have to process circumstances, and some are scarier than others, and some will trouble us more, but it's learning to take a hold of it and make decisions. Has God spoken? Has he told you something? And if he has, you know, or we have the Bible, that is also very good because it's true and personal and applicable, you know, and it's a matter of choosing to believe God. You know, Abraham, the father of faith. If you get to heaven before me, go have coffee with him. Ask him, what did he feel in his soul, his emotions, when he was walking up the mountain to kill Isaac? Scripture says that when he sent Ishmael away, he was deeply grieved because Ishmael was his son and he loved him. He was deeply grieved. Now this is Isaac. And he's going to kill him up the mountain. Do you think that his father's soul was not troubled? If he was deeply grieved because he sent Ishmael away, now he's going to kill this one? Of course it had to be. He loved him. He was his boy. He was his son. And this one, all the husbands will understand. Trust me, you will relate to this. I can assure you that Abraham's soul was troubled within him when every time he thought, what am I going to tell his mother when I come back? What am I going to tell Sarah? I killed her son. I killed him because God told me to. And it wasn't a joint decision, so we didn't make the decision together. You see, we all have to process the journey. We all process circumstances. But it is the decisions that we make. Believing God releases peace. It brings peace. Hebrews 4:2 says that they heard the good news of the gospel. You know, but it said the same way that we did. But it didn't profit them because they didn't believe what they heard. There wasn't mixed with faith in their heart. They didn't believe it. But those of us who believed God have entered into his rest. Have entered into his peace, another version says. But those who didn't believe God, verse 3 says, but those who didn't believe it in his wrath, he said, they will not enter into my rest. They will not have my peace. Believing God brings peace to your soul. Let me illustrate. This is how faith works in action. This is it. There you are, and let's say it is 10 o'clock and you get a promise from God. Let's say you get it through a prophecy. You can get it personally or you can get it through a prophecy. Let's go with prophecy. So you get a prophecy and the Lord tells you that he's going to heal you or that he's going to provide the money you need or he's going to resurrect your dead fish. And you are all excited. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You're going to do it. Thank you, God. And you feel encouraged and excited till 10:15 when you lose your faith. And your stomach is turning to ice. And you're breathing. And oh my goodness. And the first thought that happens is, what's wrong with me? I lost my faith. I had faith to believe God. You know, and now I don't. I lost my faith. And then the trouble comes in. You know, and the accuser jumps in and tells you, yes, yes, that's all over. And you can't. And God's not going to do it because the pain is still there. You know, and your soul gets all freaked out because it responds to the circumstances. The reality is, you haven't lost anything. Relax. You simply run out of faith. Two very different things. Faith is meant to be used. You need to spend it. It's not to hoard, it's to use. You need to invest it, spend your faith. You see, and he says in the book of Romans that we all have different measures of faith. It comes in measures. You see, and we have to be mindful of measures of faith in different areas of our lives. For one promise, it is hot in here. It's hot or I'm having a hot flash. I don't know. Can I throw you this? Thank you. And you see, for different promises, we have different, for different situations, we have different levels of faith based on our experience with God. If you have seen him do something, then you have a bigger measure of faith than if you haven't. You know, all that means is, you know, that for that particular promise, you only had enough faith to carry you for 15 minutes. That's the measure you had for 15 minutes worth of faith. For another promise, you may have a measure of faith that can carry you for 2 days. That means you can sleep and eat. You know, for another promise God gives you, you may only have enough faith, a measure of faith in that area to carry you for 5 minutes. If that is the case, you need to get a paper bag and breathe in and out. You see? Because different measures of faith, but faith will increase. Faith is meant to increase and measures are meant to increase. So, relax. The first time you freak out tells you what measure you have. How much faith do you have in that area? That is, you determine it by the first freak out of your soul. You know? And the soul gets troubled. So, all you have to do at 10:15 is realize, okay, I run out of faith. Got 15 minutes. My measure for this is 15 minutes of faith. Your soul is stirring within you, is troubled. And the trouble of the soul, what causes the doubt and the unbelief, is because your mind and your soul, is your brain and everything in there is trying to reconcile the reality with what you are choosing to believe. And it's craziness. It doesn't compute. Your brain, your mind is flipping here. What, and it starts telling you, Houston, we have trouble. You know, you're packing to go to China, but there is no money. You know, you can't do it, can't do it. Be careful. Your subconscious and your soul is supposed to do that. And then your soul, the Bible says, you know, the promises of God and faith is craziness to the mind. Not only to the mind of unbelievers, to my mind and yours too. Because your mind is looking at circumstances and is watching you make contrary decisions. Believing opposite things. And then your soul starts responding and reacting and sending the red flags, you know, to try and bring reason to you. Look what is happening. The fish is still dead. You see? So relax. At 10:15, when you run out of faith, go get more. There's plenty in heaven. God has plenty of faith. You know, go get more. All you have to do is tell yourself, go down and have a nap. Be quiet. Be quiet. Have a nap. Relax. And then you turn to the Father and say, Father, my soul is troubled within me because of the circumstances. But I choose to believe your promise. I choose to believe that you said you will provide. I choose to believe that you said you are going to heal me. I choose to believe you. At that moment, believing God pleases God tremendously. The Holy Spirit will respond, guaranteed. And He will give you another shot of faith. And your soul will settle till 10:30. At 10:30, you will go through it all over again. Because you are dealing with portions of 15 minutes. At 10:30, all you have to do is do this all over again. At 10:45, 11 o'clock, you know, every 15 minutes, choose to believe God every 15 minutes until suddenly you realize you can go for a whole half an hour. You know what that means? Your faith has doubled within you. Now you keep on believing God's promise every half an hour. Then you find out 2 hours, 3 hours, half a day, and your faith begins to grow. And you keep on believing the promise of God until you become convinced He will do it. Until you become convinced. The moment you become convinced that God is going to will do what He said, you have reached the faith of Abraham. That's the faith of Abraham. He was absolutely convinced that God would do what He said. You know? But it is a process that we walk through to get there. And you may acquire the faith of Abraham in one area, then another area, then another area. All we have to do is believe God. And He will charge you with faith. Trust me, I live in that realm and that planet all the time because God speaks some very outrageous things and does and allows things outrageous that require huge amounts of faith like we're doing right now with Ivan and requires huge amounts of faith, but we have promises. You see, that we go back to God has said this, God has said. You know, and we keep on going through life. Now, having said that, there are some people who have a supernatural gift of faith. And those are not as common, you know. The rest of us go through the process of reaching the mountaintop. You know, but there are those who have a supernatural gift of faith. And when you have a supernatural gift of faith, those people are really annoying. Because it's so easy for them. God speaks, they believe, and they keep going. It's all is well. You know, my husband is one of those. You know, and I have seen the man do things. You know, God said, buy that building, no money, and he puts the offer, and he has told the lawyers and the people, in 2 weeks I will give you $50,000 cash, and there's no money anywhere. And in a week and a half, he has $50,000 cash, to just like God said. We said to him, why did you say that? We'll have to sell the dogs. You know. And he said, God just told me, in 2 weeks I'll give you $2,000. So he signed the paper, guaranteeing $50,000, because God told him in a moment, in 2 weeks I'll give you $50,000. You know, the rest of us, we needed a paper bag at that moment to breathe in and out. The rest of our team, you know. So if you're one of those, this is not applicable to you. You know, but it's for the rest of us that we go on believing the promises of God, on living our destiny. I'm going to finish with my story. One of my favorite stories. Perhaps my favorite. Is there a word that's most favorite? Can I say that? It's the one. To illustrate to you everything I have just said. About the promises of God, about faith, and about how to live it without striving, without getting an ulcer because you're freaking out. You know, Ivan and I only teach what we live. We don't speak out of knowledge or out of theory or out of somebody else's teachings. We speak out of our lives and our journey with God. And when Ivan and I got married, it was an absolute walk of faith, as big as it gets. It was everything here I just told you, summarized. When we met, and we couldn't stand each other, and Ivan was a hippie, a Christian hippie. He loved Jesus, so he said, I didn't believe it, but anyway, he was a hippie. He had his long, bushy hair, curly hair, bushy beard, you know. I think I told you, it was after he studied at CCK. CCK, right? Yes. I have a lot of affection for CCK because 35 or so years ago, the church invested into Ivan tremendously for ministry. He studied with Terry Virgo and David Flanningham. And so anyway, we love the church. Ivan calls his church in England. And so anyway, it was after that, and he had all this bushy curliness and everything. And so he looked like a caveman to me. I had one earring, and he was talking about father's love and father's heart and all kinds of things, because he was with the Arnotts, if you know, the Toronto Revival. He was a son to John and Carol, started as a spiritual son, became a real son. And so he was already talking about those things. I was in a church. No offense to anybody, just it's my reality. My church was a mix of four very interesting doctrines. They formed a fifth doctrine out of this. It was Pentecostal / Amish. You know what that is? Good. / Brethren / and Brethren, the strictest Brethren / Shepherding. Yes. Oh, my God. I tell you, it was a nightmare. It was 1,000% control and legalism. Like, it was extreme control and legalism. They preached the God of the Old Testament and fire, and they controlled us with the fear of God. So even talking about father's heart and father's love sounded very hippish to me. Peace and love, you know, it doesn't work that way. Then it was all about the appearance of holiness and godliness. You know, everybody, all the men had to look like you guys look. Except for him with the beard, you would not fit in my church. The funny thing is now, when I look at the picture of how Ivan looked back then, I like it. But back then, it freaked me out. You know, and they all look like you, you know, very nice shaved and properly and all of that, very godly, very holy. Ladies, let me explain to you my situation. We were not allowed to wear makeup because we would go to hell. We had to get permission from the pastor to trim hair, our hair, and he would measure. And then he would measure back and make sure. We couldn't shave our legs. We would go straight to hell if we shaved our legs. And this is true. I'm not exaggerating my next statement. We could not shave our legs because we got to hell. I could braid mine. It was not good. You have no idea how things looked. I tell you, I had a mustache bigger than most of you guys. And I followed the rules, and I was as holy as it could be about appearance. It was just holiness. Everything exactly as it was, according to our rules. And I looked at Ivan, and I judged him and sent him straight to hell. I said, that's a heathen. There is no way a Christian can look like that, because that's not the way we were in our church. And all I knew is that real fellowship's clothing, and he is here to deceive and destroy people. I spread rumors against Ivan. You know, I was protecting people from the heathen. And so we weren't friends, didn't want to be friends. Why in the world would we be friends? I was holy going to heaven, he was going to hell. Two different things. You saw, I would not associate with them. I was as legalistic as my church was, and I lived it. So there we were, and Ivan was praying and saying, God, please get me out of here. You know, and we were praying him out of there. Everybody praying to get rid of the heathen. And so Ivan left. We were not friends. I only had to translate a couple of times for him. I repented because I had to associate with the heathen. I repented and put distance in between. We were not friends. Didn't like each other. You know, this... Did I make that clear? And 2 years passed. And one day, the Lord spoke through a dream to me, a kind of dream that cannot be confused with pizza or cheese. It was as God, as thunder and lightning God speaking. And the Lord said to me, Isabel, I want you to marry Ivan. He said, I have planned a destiny for my kingdom, for you, the two of you together. I have called your lives together for my kingdom. I want you to marry Ivan. If you marry Ivan, I will use you together to build my kingdom throughout the nations of the world. I will use your marriage for my glory and for my name. If you are willing to do this for me, it is for me, not for you. If you are willing to do it, I will give you a gift of love that will join you forever. Will you do this for me? If I lived by the soul, I would not be here. And if you need faith to believe God, I would not be here. Because I didn't have any faith to believe that at all. My soul revolted inside and shouted inside of me, are you crazy? And the thought ran through my mind, if I marry that guy, if this is true, if this actually happens and I marry that guy, you are supposed to kiss, right? And if you get married, the thought of kissing Ivan made me gag. I literally gagged. All I kept thinking was the bushy hairy guy. You know, I gagged. And I said to my soul, be quiet within me. It is not about you. I don't live to please you. I live to please my Father. I don't have to like it to do it. Obedience doesn't mean it will be pleasing to my soul. If my Father wants this from me, my Father will get this from me. So go down and have a coma. You know, just be quiet, because I'm not going to please you. And I knelt down very formally and responded to the Lord. And I said, Father, for you, I will do anything. It doesn't matter what you ask of me. I promise you, I will do it. I give you, my answer is yes, I will marry Ivan for you. And I will go on with him and I will build your kingdom for the rest of my life with him. Please do whatever you have to do to make it happen. And I give you my promise and my word that I will marry him for you. It was a choice to believe God. Had nothing to do with what I felt and nothing to do with anything else. A choice to trust him and believe him. With my second most important decision of life. First salvation, then marriage. And at that moment, the Holy Spirit responded and gave me the faith, the assurance that what God said would happen. I still didn't like him at all. I didn't want to marry him. But I had the assurance that what God said would happen and it would be fine. The Lord began to work. The long story is fascinating. I began to do things. I began to speak to my family in dreams and everything. They were not believers. And God began to took over and began to do everything. 2 months later, Ivan came to Costa Rica to set up an outreach for his church. And he was sent all expenses paid for 2 weeks. However, everything got set up in 2 days, which was fascinating. Now, everything had the rest of the time free. So my pastor invited him to go to the mountains with him for 3 days, and then he had the whole rest of the time. So that night, he was praying, and he asked God the wrong question. He said to the Lord, Father, what I came here to do, has already happened. It has come together. Is there anything else you want me to do while I'm here? At that moment, the tangible presence of God crashed through the room and landed on him. And the Lord spoke to him audibly and said, "Yes, Ivan, the reason why I brought you here is because I want you to marry Isabel." And Ivan rebuked the devil. I bet you were feeling bad for him because I didn't want to kiss him. He rebuked the devil. As you can tell, we don't have a romantic beginning to recall at all. I gagged and he rebuked the devil. And the Lord responded and said to him, "Ivan, it's not him talking, it's me. It's me." It may feel like it, his emotions, his song. Responded to the devil, but he said, "It's not him, it's me talking, Ivan." So Ivan, bless his heart, proceeded to present his arguments to the Lord. For 6 hours, he talked to the Lord, trying to convince him to change his mind. He tried every possible thought, every possible reason why this was not a good thing. The Lord let him ramble on for 6 hours. Without engaging. I'm sure he went for coffee 3 times. And that tangible presence was in the room for the whole time for 6 hours as Ivan was presenting arguments to the Lord. When Ivan ran out of arguments, the Lord spoke again and said, "Ivan, I'm not interested in your arguments at all. I'm still here waiting to hear from you, yes or no. That's all I need. Will you do this for me or not?" And Ivan understood. And he said to the Lord, "For you, I will do anything. It doesn't matter what you ask. So if this is what you require of me, the answer is yes. I will even marry her for you." The next day, Ivan had to speak at a Youth for Christ meeting in the capital. He hired me to go and translate for him. He still has not paid me. And after the meeting, an angel came to visit him. I witnessed the whole thing. I saw the angel appear in physical form. I watched the conversation. I heard portions of it. And Ivan and I physically, with our physical eyes, we saw the angel disappear in front of our eyes. The angel came to confirm to Ivan the conversation he had with God the night before. To confirm to him that God wanted him to marry me. Between you and me, I didn't need an angel to seal the deal. So, just saying. No, Ivan needed an angel to make sure. God had to send security. You know. And the angel also came to give the time for the engagement. He said, because it was something God wanted and God requested, according to the plans he had and to the events that were to unfold, the engagement had to happen immediately. So within 1 hour of the angel's visitation, Ivan and I shook hands on an engagement. We did not like each other. We did not want to marry each other. It was 100% obedience to the Lord and a personal promise we had each individually given the Lord. Now, Ivan didn't say, "God told me, God said." I didn't say, "God told me, God said." Because we truly believe and teach when there is personal involvement, we withhold that because you can manipulate. So there is no need to say "God told me" if it affects you. So Ivan didn't say "God said this, God told me." He just asked me right out. I said, "Yes, I will." And we shook hands and got engaged. And he went one way, I went another way. And within an hour of the handshake engagement, Ivan went with my pastor to the mountains for 3 days. And when he came back from the mountains, it was exactly What happened was exactly like the Bible tells that happened when Isaac and Rebecca met. It says in the Bible that when Isaac and Rebecca met, the moment they saw each other, they loved each other. When Ivan came back from the mountains and I opened the door, the moment we looked into each other's eyes, we received the gift of love God promised in the dream. And at that moment, we loved each other as if we had been together for years and years. It was deep, it was mature, we never fell in love with each other, but we loved each other. And it was strong and powerful. Now, the biggest problem now was my church, you know, because it was out of the box. So out of the box, it freaked everybody out. The pastors, the leaders, the world say, the elders, oh my gosh. You know, and they tried everything they could to stop it. Because they said, this is not God, it doesn't happen. We have never seen anything like this happen. We have never heard of anybody going through this. These things don't happen. And on and on. And everything that they tried to do, God was one step ahead and spoiled it before they could even do it. It was amazing to see God go ahead of us to make it happen. At the end, they had to have a big elders meeting to decide what to do. Because it was outside the box, out of the realms of any realm of limitations anybody had ever seen in that place. It was beyond Hollywood. You know what was happening. And in this big meeting that lasted hours, somebody heard the voice of the Lord and said, wait a minute, because I just know, the thought just came to me, that even though we have all these arguments and concerns and everything, there's actually precedent that God has done it at least once before. And it worked with Isaac and Rebecca. And because God did it with Isaac and Rebecca, they could not say he could not do it again. And because of Isaac and Rebecca, they allowed us to get married. They couldn't stop it. We always joke and say, when we get to heaven, we're taking them out to lunch. Because if they had not done it, we wouldn't be here. The thing is, that was 30 years ago. And I can tell you, 30 years later, we have never looked back. And if time went back, we will do it all over again. You know, believe in God. It's all it takes. God has been faithful to every single thing he promised. He's done it all. He has gone out of his way to do it. You know, we're very in love with each other. We're very happy together. Yeah, we tried to kill each other about 3 times. You know, got in a healing, got fixed up, worked it out. We're happy. You know, and the thing is, everything God said he has done. You see, and we have seen his faithfulness. And everything he said in the kingdom from the day we got married, it began to unfold. And everything he promised has been happening. And more has been added unto us. Believe in God. That's all it takes. You know, there's no one that can tell me that believing God doesn't work. Because we're living it. And we have seen it time and time again. Faith is determined by what you believe, not by what you feel. Your soul will align. My soul is very happy. I believed God and married that man. You see, but it is every promise of God requires you to believe and act, and the Holy Spirit will do the rest. Please stand with me. Father, I thank you. For you are a limitless God in a limitless kingdom. A God of limitless possibilities. A God for whom everything is easy. It is only difficult for man, but everything is easy for God. So Father, tonight, I want to bless this house and everyone in here for faith, for trust. Father, because these are sons and daughters, we are not dealing with hired hands. These are sons and daughters. Father, we come before you right now to receive from you. And Father, right now, I just want to bless every person for change and transition from the old into the new. To leave behind everything that was learned in the world, the filters of the world. Dear Holy Spirit, would you help us? Would you help us recognize? Would you help us be aware of everything, every filter we have carried that is blocking our destiny, our promises? And help us change. And Father, we want to ask you right now for an increase. Father, just like that man in the Bible said to Jesus, I believe, but increase my faith. But help me not to doubt. We come before you to acknowledge the weakness of our soul, the weakness of our flesh, our mind. And we are so trained to live by what we see, to live by what we feel. And right now, I just want to release an impartation for restoration for every promise of God that has been lost or delayed. Either because you didn't believe it, because it was too good to be true, because like they said to me, it was a Hollywood word, Hollywood prophecy. Or because you didn't prepare for it and didn't respond and nothing happened. Or because others told you not to believe. Whatever the reason is, it doesn't matter. If you still want it, God will do it. It may look a bit different than perhaps 20 years ago or 10 years ago, but God will still do it. For he doesn't lie. He doesn't retract his words. So in the name of Jesus right now, I just want to call forth destiny. And I want to release an impartation for destiny to arise and the understanding, the revelation of destiny to come into every heart, into every soul, into every spirit right now. And to arise as a reality. We are people of destiny. We don't just exist and struggle through life, but we are people of destiny. God made a plan for each one of you. For each one, he has a plan. So in Jesus' name right now, I call forth an awakening into your very DNA right now, into your spirit man to arise, and an alignment to happen in the spirit, soul, and body. For your spirit knows the promises of God. Your spirit carries within everything that you need for your destiny. God equipped you with it, and your spirit has it. It's your soul that doesn't know it. Your mind, will, and emotions hasn't found out yet. But Father, right now, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I call forth every promise to arise again. And the ones that have been forgotten, would you kindly bring them back to remembrance? Father, would you repeat them into their lives? Would you speak to them? Dear Holy Spirit, Jesus said that you will remind us of everything he said and everything he did and everything he teaches. And we are forgetful people. So we need help right now to remember. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I release an impartation for a spirit of a stewardship. For a stewardship to arise. The mindfulness and the stewardship to invest. I bless you to be investors in the promises of God. To invest your time, to invest energy, to invest your resources in what God has said. For He will add unto you greater promises, greater talents, greater resources. In Jesus' name right now, I just take authority over any mistakes that have been made, over any sense of failure and disappointment that has been in anybody's heart or mind. I break off right now all failure from the past. Father, we shake the dust of our feet like Jesus said. We shake the dust of rejection, the dust of failure out of our lives right now. And Father, we pick up the mantles. We pick up the mantle and say, where is the Lord God of Elijah that will part the waters for us and do miracles? So in Jesus' name right now, I just bless you to be courageous and very, very courageous. For you people are conquerors. England is a land of conquerors. And you people by nature, by inheritance, have the spirit of a conqueror within you. By being Christians, you have another portion of conquering spirit within you. So I bless you to arise, to believe God's promises, to walk them, to attain them. For it is God's desire to give them to you, all of them and more. It is His desire. So I bless you to arise, to become once again a nation that is known for being the defender of the faith. A nation that is known for protecting and carrying the gospel. A nation that has been recognized throughout the centuries for faithfulness to the calling of God. So in Jesus' name right now, Father, will you release the lion heart again in this nation, Father, and in everyone who is here, in every church and ministry here represented, Father. For what they have in the natural, you know, the lion heart is part of England, Father, but they also have the Lion of Judah. So, Father, right now, I just call for that impartation of these two powerful forces that is within you, in the natural and also in the spirit realm, that you will arise once again to be the conquering leaders and the defenders of the faith, the ones that have took the gospel throughout the world. So in Jesus' name, I just bless you once again with a stirring for greatness and depth to arise into every person. And I break off limitations right now. Every mindset of limitations, every single lie of limitations that has been in you, no matter what burden, there is no limitations. God is limitless. And I am living that life. So I bless you today in the name of Jesus, that you too will arise to fulfill your destinies, to be who God created you to be, to live the life He planned for you, and that everything and the favor of God will come upon you. In the mighty name of our Lord Jesus, I declare a shift in the atmosphere right now over your lives, over your ministries, over this house, over every person here, for perfect alignment between heaven and earth, for the trumpets of destiny to start blowing. There are trumpets blowing in heaven right now. That's why I'm still talking, because I'm hearing trumpets. So I release right now that impartation of the agreement from heaven right now into everyone here. And I release a deposit for childlikeness to arise in your hearts and your lives. Why not you? Why can't you be the one that breaks out of the box in your family? Why can't you be the one that breaks out of the box in your city, in your church, in your household? Why can't you be the one that walks on the waters and others, to inspire others to walk on the waters themselves? In the name of Jesus, I just called you out right now, and I called you up. Up, up, in Jesus' name. I bless you to arise, and I release an impartation of the spirit of excellence that was given to Daniel and Joseph. The same spirit of excellence given to Daniel and Joseph is attainable to you if you decide to run the race with excellence for God. Not for you, not for your fame, not for your recognition, for Jesus to be known and for the kingdom of God. God will release again that spirit of excellence that you once had as a nation. It will come back to you in the name of Jesus, and you will arise again to be the servants of the King, the musketeers of the Lord, to arise again for the King, for his kingdom. In the name of Jesus, right now, I bless you with that impartation, for that spirit of excellence that will arise and empower you. And I bless you right now with authority given to me. I release a deposit into your lives for the tenacity to run the race to the end. Not to drop out because of circumstances, not to look to the left or to the right, but to fix your eyes on the finished goal, knowing the one who called you will take you there all the way, and he will provide everything you need to make it happen, for the Holy Spirit will get you there. I bless you with freedom tonight. I bless you with freedom to choose. I bless you with freedom to choose. I bless you with freedom to make decisions. I bless you with freedom to arise and become men and women of the Spirit. Men and women, for the Lord has not given you a spirit of fear or timidity, but he has given you a spirit of faith, of power, might, and self-control. So I bless you tonight to join with the power of that of the Spirit in you. And to be like Jacob, to have the endurance and tenacity of Jacob, to say, I will not let go until you give me my blessing. I will not stop until you give me my promise. I will not stop until you give me, and until I get there. Dear Holy Spirit, will you refresh them right now? From the weariness of the journeys, from the struggles, from the battles, from the opposition that has been in this land and has been in their lives. Father, would you make a way where there is no way? Would you open doors that have been closed? Would you close doors that need to be closed in their lives? Would you deal with the bullies, the lions, tigers, and bears? And release angelic forces in the land. And release angelic forces in this house. And release angelic forces in every household here represented. Release angelic forces for every person. For no matter what happens, God's promise to you, 100% guaranteed, is that he will turn into good everything the enemy intends for evil. Everything he intends for harm, God will turn it into good. And like Joseph, you will say, it was God who brought me here. It was the hand of God. So in Jesus' name right now, I just bless you to reset. Reset and start again. Reset and start again. For new beginnings, I bless you in the name of our Father, who has gladly chosen to give you his kingdom. I bless you in the name of our Lord Jesus, who paid the price for you to receive it. I bless you in the name of the Holy Spirit, who makes sure that you get there, who will empower you and sustain you. I bless you in the name of the Holy Spirit right now, for he guarantees our redemption in the day of salvation. He makes sure you get safely home. So I bless you tonight with expectation for tomorrow and every day. Expectation in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.